Welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Hey, yes, welcome back, everybody. Once again, welcome all my friends. Two tips from the Server Room. This is episode number 58 for August the 12th, 2014. I'm your host, Jack, and I'm here to guide you through that magical world of servers, networks, switches, wires, and all things connected. Folks, this show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast. If it's tech, it's here. Please check out all the great tech shows at techpodcast.com. Also, if you have a minute, check out my website at tipsfromtheserveroom.com, where you can comment on these shows. You can also leave me a voice message, and we try to strive to get you to do so. You can leave me a voice message at 724-701-0550. Once again, that's 724-701-0550. All right, folks. I do have an announcement for you tonight. And this is something I've been kicking around for quite a while. And I thought, you know, now is the time. A lot of you know, and you'll hear at the end of this show about my online courses I've been providing for quite a number of years now. Well, at least two that I know of. And they've been very successful. We've had a lot of people sign up for the courses. And those courses are very much self-paced on your own. So those courses on your own are just that way. You take the course, you know, you watch a video, and then you take a short quiz. Tonight, I am officially announcing that I'm planning to have a live Windows Server class in October. We'll be starting in October. These courses are going to last 6 weeks. I'm still drilling out the details, and I will have more for you soon. Please email me if you have an interest in this class. I'm trying to build up a list of folks, and I'm going to try to hold the class to a maximum of 15 people. 15 people. The classes will be held over a Cisco WebEx is what I'm planning. So we'll be using WebEx, so the quality is going to be extremely good. And the classes will be one night a week. Each class will be approximately 2 hours long. Again, that's going to be for 6 weeks. Now, if you are interested in that or sounds like something you might want to do, I'm trying to figure out a time so we can capture as many different places and people that we can with all the different time zones. I am on the East Coast, so I'm in the Eastern time zone. But if you're interested, email me at jackstechcorner@gmail.com. I'm trying to build up a list right now. And the first 15 people are the people that we're going to accept, that the invitations will go out to for the course. I haven't even drilled down a price yet, but I'm pretty close to getting it together, and I'm pretty close to seeing what we want to do here with this course. Folks, if you have any questions or ideas for future shows, please email me at jackstechcorner@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter as @technoman. Now, tonight, we're going to be talking about file sharing. And even if you are really, really good and you're like, nah, wait, Jack, I'm really, really good at file sharing. I already know how to do it. Well, Windows Server 2012 is one of those new little beasts that we have to attend to. Some of you are putting it in your server racks. Some of you may not be. Some of you might be still rolling out Server 2008 R2, and that's still fine. You can do that. But if you are moving up, you might want to listen to the show and say, look, how would I do file sharing in a Server 2012 situation? That's what we're going to be talking about tonight here. And I do have an email message to get to. I'll do that at the end of the show. I'll make sure I have enough time here because we are broadcasting live on Spreaker right now. And I just seen somebody tweet out that I was live on Spreaker. Thank you very much to whoever that was putting that out on Twitter. I do appreciate your efforts to promote the show and to get more folks tuning in on Spreaker. If you've never listened to my Spreaker show, I normally start these shows at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, but tonight there was a little drawback. Tonight we had a county fair, And, you know, once a year we go there. It'd be, you know, it's only 1 week a year. And myself and my wife kind of walk around, you know, we like to, you know, eat dinner there and give a little bit back to the community. So we went and we visited a fair and we just got home a little bit late. So I'm sorry about it. I'm starting a little bit late here. But hey, if you're listening to this and it's Wednesday morning and you're in your car on your way to work, then you didn't realize when I recorded this. All right, let's get started here, folks, on tonight's lessons. In the past, managing and sharing NTFS folders could be a real ordeal. There were different tools for managing NTFS permissions versus shared folders, and most IT pros generally use these tools on a server-by-server basis for each server's console. Now, Server Manager in Windows 2012 is coming to the rescue. We do so much more now in Server Manager, and if you don't disable it, you will find very quickly, every time you log into your server 2012, the Server Manager launches. I think it's because Microsoft knows that we're going to provide so much faith. We're putting so much faith into that Server Manager, and we are managing the server more with one interface, and it just makes it so much easier to do. Now, in Windows Server 2012, the Server Manager provides a management facelift on top of the disconnected processes that we've used in the past for sharing folders and setting NTFS permissions. Most of you out there, you may have even watched one of my one of my YouTube videos, and you might have came over from the YouTube side. Most of the time, and I still find myself doing it. I mean, I'll be very honest with you. I've been doing this for a long time. I still find myself doing it the old way. The old way of doing it, you know, we'd go into the structure, into our file folder tree, my computer, whatever you want to call that thing, and I would create a folder. On that folder, I'd right-click on it and click on Sharing Properties, and I would share that folder out, and I would share it to my users. What a lot of people don't know is that if you want to give somebody a server drive, so let's say somebody, you want to give somebody a folder on the server. You have maybe a file server that you're dealing with. What we do is make sure you log on your domain controller, and it doesn't matter. This is the thing that people don't understand. It doesn't matter if you have one server or if you have 90 servers. If all of those servers are tied into the same domain controller, whatever you do on your Active Directory domain will work across all those servers because the permissions are pushed out across all those servers, right? It's synced across the servers. So what I'm saying here is when you set up a user, if you just simply want to give that user a file folder and you don't want to share it, because here's the difference. When you share a folder, and if you go into My Network Places, even on a workstation, you will see all the shared folders. Now, you might not be able to access those. But, you know, if you work in a school or if you work in a college and you're handing these things out, people get kind of weirded out when so-and-so can see my folder. Yeah, they can double click it. They're not getting into it because they have no permissions to read or anything to it. They can't get in it. They can see it because it's shared on your server. Now, if you wanted it not to be seen by anybody on the network under My Network Places, what we like to do is when we're setting up our Active Directory user, we want to create a shared folder. In Active Directory, when you set up their user, you know, name and everything, you get all that done. There is a profile page. Click on the profile tab, and on that tab itself, you can click down the bottom and click on home drive, give it a drive letter. We call ours U. Some people call theirs H for home drive. It doesn't matter what the letter is. And then put the path to that actual file folder. And it can be anywhere, right? It can be anywhere on your servers. You would do a // server name / whatever it is. But when you do that there, especially when you're setting up new users and you click apply, if you're logged in as the administrator, those folders will automatically be created on your file server, wherever that file server is in your network, as long as it's on the same domain. But tonight we are talking about sharing folders and setting up NTFS permissions. So you can do this through Server Manager. So in addition, Server Manager can easily manage these folders on a local server or any remote server that you've previously added to the Server Manager dashboard. Now, this is huge because now we can manage all of our servers in one interface. I did this for quite a while now. I can't remember when we first started. It must have been somebody out there might have to refresh my memory. Whenever Microsoft started to create client-based management tools where you can load these on the administrator's workstation, that way you don't have to remote into the server all the time. We would basically have all of the server tools loaded on our workstation. So if we wanted to create an Active Directory user, we could do that. We could do file sharing. We could do that. But what they've done now is they've rolled that into the server management console. And now you can plug all your servers into one management console. So you log on to one server and you have control over your entire domain of servers. That's pretty critical. Now, for details on using and customizing Server Manager for your servers and network environment, you would do all that through, again, the Server Manager. Along with the new SMB 3.0 performance and availability features for shared folders, Server Manager provides a powerful management tool for taking advantage of these features in your network environment. And working with a new wireless mouse that doesn't like me too well. So how can I share new folders with Server Manager? Well, we're going to simply walk through this, and I'm going to give you an overview of how you would do that. First, to be able to share folders on a Windows Server 2012, you must first use the Add Roles and Features wizard to install the File Server Role service. Now again, remember, if you're using one server, if you're using the small business server, let's say, or if you're using one server to do all of your tasks, my network has grown to the point now where that would be a little bit hard for me to do. I would crush one server. We currently have 9 running, and one of our servers is just purely a file server. That's what it does. And one of our servers is purely an application server. Now, my Active Directory domain controller does do my primary DNS, and it also does my DHCP. You don't have to have it that way. You can have separate servers for those also. So this is a server role. So where I was getting at was, if you want to load this on your primary servers, the only one you have, go ahead and do so. I would suggest that you have a separate file server, and it would be another Windows Server 2012 box, and add this role to that server and make that your file server. Again, you can manage it with your primary domain controller. You can manage it there. But in other words, we can have both of these together if that makes sense. Now on the file and storage services page, again, we are in the Server Manager interface. Select shares and then click tasks. You can click on New Share to begin a new share wizard. On the Select the Profile for the Share, select SMB Share. Now, click the Next button. Note that in addition to creating a new SMB Share for NTFS folders that are sharing documents, we also have options for creating shared folders for applications, such as SQL databases, or now I get a lot of emails about this, or Hyper-V virtual machines, as well as creating new NFS shares for non-window client devices. Now think about that, NFS. So if you have, like we do, we have some users in our network that use Macs, and you know Macs tend to not like to write to NTFS, but they do write to NFS. So if you have a Mac, if you have Linux machines on your network and you want them to be able to access your file server, you may want to set up some NFS shares. On the Select the Server and Path for this share page, select a server on which to create the new share, local or remote server. It doesn't matter, either local storage or remote. and the volume on which to create the new shared folder. Click the Next button to continue. On the Specify Share Name page, type the name, the share name that you want to use, and then click the Next button to continue. As you see, folks, these wizards are wonderful. On the Configure Share Settings page, you will find advanced options for configuring access-based emulation, or ABE, offline folder caching, and encrypted of end-to-end SMB network traffic. Let's select all three of these options and click Next. Let's first talk about this one, though, before we move on, because this one has saved me numerous times, and it is offline folder caching. What does offline folder caching do? Quite basically, all it does is it allows you to cache your folders to the client machine is what it does. So if something would happen, your network would break, your switch would go out on you for whatever reason, somebody's working on a big document. You have your CEO sitting in an office and he's working on a document and typing along, and all of a sudden, poof, network's gone. Well, instead of that file being corrupted, if you have this offline folder caching set up, those files can actually be cached onto his machine. When a network comes back up, it will resend that information back to the network server. So that is what offline folder caching is. It's an amazing feature, and I use it all the time. Now note, if branch cache is enabled on your server to optimize shared folder access over the WAN, WAN, or Wide Area Network, you can also enable branch cache on this new folder on this page. On the Simplified Permissions to Control Access page, on the Specified Permissions to Control Access page, can't even read my own notes. Review and default permissions. Review the default permissions for the new NTFS folder and click on Customize Permissions. The button to further customize these permissions as necessary. When finished, click the Next button. On the Confirm Selections page, review the currently selected settings for sharing the new folder and click the Create button to begin the process of creating the new folder, applying the NTFS permissions, and sharing the folder with the selected share settings. Now, let's talk about, can you automate this process of sharing new folders? Maybe a lot of you might be like me and say, look, I kind of like the command line. I kind of get the feel, you know, that this whole PowerShell thing is a big push in the right direction. You can automate this process of sharing new folders using PowerShell 3.0 and the new SMB share commandlets. That's CMDLETS, commandlets, or camlets, however you want to say that. For example, to create and share the same folder as demonstrated a minute ago, we could use the following commands in PowerShell. Now remember, folks, PowerShell may look like the old DOS prompt, the old DOS command, the old command window, however you want to say that. But PowerShell is an application on the server. You have to click your start button, you will find PowerShell. Or if you go to the search bar, you could type in PowerShell and it's going to open it up. It very much looks like a command prompt, but you'll be able to identify it very quickly when it comes up because it says PowerShell. Here's how we're going to start these commands in PowerShell. The first one is MD, right? MD is what, folks? Make directory. Space D, or wherever the drive letter is, :/share/documents. Now, we're going to go to new-smb-share/name-documents/path/d:/share/documents/folder-emulation-mode. And you know what I'm going to do is I think I'm going to post this in our show notes. You'll have this and you can read this little script. The next, it says access based. We're going to do a dash caching mode space documents space dash encrypted data space dollar sign true space dash full access spaced everyone. So now if you read that back, everyone's going to have full access to the documents at D shares documents. In addition to the new SMB share commandlets, you can also use the set-acl and git-acl PowerShell commandlets for automating NTFS folder permissions. Now, has anything changed with NTFS permissions in Windows Server 2012? NTFS access list permissions work the same way in Windows Server 2012, but there is an improved user interface for setting and viewing NTFS permissions that can make implementing advanced security scenarios much easier. Let's see here where we are. So what is an NTFS advanced security scenario? Well, for example, a common NTFS folder requirement in many organizations is to set the permissions such that users can create, update, delete, and rename files, but not delete or rename folders or subfolders. So you want to make sure that nobody can delete the uppermost of folder. Of course, they can work on the files in their folders, but they can't delete the folder. Many organizations implement this approach to provide a consistent network folder structure for users to store their files, without being concerned about users inadvertently moving or renaming or pruning or grafting whole selections of their folder structure. In the past, this custom combination of file and folder permissions were confusing and very difficult to implement. Here's one of my big things that happens on our network constantly. I don't know if you guys and girls out there get this or not, but it always seems to happen to us. Somebody gives you a call. They call into the tech room or they send you a help desk ticket and say, look, this is what's going on. I just lost a whole file folder. I don't know where it went. It obviously got deleted. Can you pull it from your backup systems? My first response is, wait, let me come out. Let me sit at your computer and we're going to have a little look around. Here's what happens. Whenever somebody, for whatever reason, I don't know if they're talking to somebody, if they're guessing, have some kind of shakiness with their hand, but they go to double click on a folder and sometimes it gets pulled into another folder. How many times have you ever seen that? So you go and you say, look, what I need to do is look at your server drive. And sometimes I'll do this from my desk. I'll just get onto their server drive because we have full permissions, and I'll ask them what the name of the file folder is. All I'll do is I'll go to the left of that folder, to the right of that folder, above it and below it, and generally, I will find that folder. And if you're at your desk, it's pretty cool because you pull it back out, you know, into their folder structure, give them a call on the phone and say, hey, Sally, I just found your folder. You can go back to work. You will be a hero. You will probably get free candy bars for a month, and you may even have Sally call you down and say, look, I just poured you a fresh hot cup of coffee. It was just you doing a little bit of investigating work. Don't go right to that backup server and start pulling backups. Check and see what they did for us, folks, because file folders, ordinarily, about 99% of the time, don't just disappear. It just doesn't happen. We know that, right? We know our servers. Our servers aren't in the habit of gobbling up people's files. Now, but to implement the scenario that we're just talking about, Windows Server 2012, we can click on the Customize Permissions button, and we can walk through the following process. In the Advanced Security Setting dialog box, click the Disable Inheritance button and disable inheritance permissions from the parent folder in preparation of setting an explicit set of folder permissions. Folks, this will get you in trouble more than anything else you can do on a server. Okay, except maybe delete everybody's file folders. What we are talking about here is, very simply put, is inheriting permissions down through that folder tree, down through that structure. This gets more techs and more server administrators in trouble than anything I've ever seen in my 27 years of working with servers. What happens sometimes is we will give full permissions to that top folder. We will then somehow, let's say we have the first folder is in our structure users. On that users folder, we accidentally give Sally Jones full access. We meant to give her full access to her folder, but we accidentally gave Sally Jones full access to the user folder. And then every folder under that, we want our administrator privileges to propagate down. So we wanted to inherit everything from that user's folder so we have access. But what happens is Sally also gets full access to everybody's folders. Next thing you know, Sally has, you know, she has things like people's, what do they call those, evaluations, you know, employee evaluations forms from the CEO. Sally has important financial documents that she's finding out this guy's making more money than her doing the same job, or this woman's making more money than this person over here. It gets really, really sticky. Be careful with your permissions over that parent folder of letting it propagate down. But this is going to try to help us, because now we are currently looking at this and we're digging into this. Now, when prompted, click on the option to convert inherited permissions into explicit permissions on this object. This would create a copy of each inherited permission access list entry into an explicit entry for this folder, and you will be able to edit it. You will be able to edit or remove. In this case, you want to modify the default permissions granted to the users group for the folder. We just talked about that users folder or the users group. Use the remove button to remove each of the existing access list entries granted to the users group. Another good one that so many people do, I've seen in a lot of networks, I get called by clients that says, look, Jack, this isn't quite right. Bob has access to Bill's, paperwork, and we don't want that to happen. For some strange reason, on the users folder, in the topmost folder, somebody wanted to give domain users full access. Grant them full access, domain users. Folks, guess what every user on your network or on your domain controller is? They are all domain users. So if you do that, you're going to give everybody, they're not even in a group. They don't have to be in the domain users group. They are a domain user. And one time the guy told me, well, Jack, I fixed that. I put in authorized domain user or authenticated domain user. And I said, you know what? They're all authenticated. When you log on that network and it logs you into your computer, you're authenticated. So it's the same scenario. So be very careful with your user groups. Know who's in them, know what they are, and know what they do. You have to do that so you can be an administrator of a network. Next thing you're going to do, though, you're going to use the add button to grant a new set of file permissions to the user group. In this scenario, we will want users to have read, write, and delete permissions to files and only files inside this folder. Files and only files inside this folder. So we'll select the following permission options for those files. Once you're done adding file permissions, we'll use the add button again to grant a new set of folder permissions to the user group. In this scenario, we want users to have the ability to see folders and create new files. So we'll select the following permission options for the folder. And those permission options are transverse folder execute file, list folders read data, read attributes, read extended attributes, create files and write data, and read permission. Folks, we have never, ever had the abilities and this much control over your files. The other, last week when I got interviewed, Somebody said, is Windows Server 2012 much different than Server 2008? And my response was, not really as far as running it. But the joys and the benefits of what Microsoft is adding. Microsoft doesn't come out with a new Windows Server version just because we can say, we're running 2008 R2. You know, we're no longer running 2003. I mean, they don't do it for that. There's a lot of new features built in. And this is huge. This is great to have this much control over those files and what can be deleted and what can't. So now that's it. Now we've got our shared folder all set for this advanced security scenario in just a few clicks. Of course, if you wanted to automate this progress, we could have used the set ACL or get ACL PowerShell commandlets to set NTFS permissions via a script as well. Folks, most of you know that I love scripts. I posted a few scripts. If you go to tipsfromtheserverroom.com, there is some scripts there. And those scripts actually came from a show that was a long time ago that I truly loved. I used to listen to these guys a long time ago, and it was called Casting from the Server Room. These guys were amazing. And they also ran schools in the Philadelphia area, in the New York area, and just amazing people. And one of those guys can write scripts like nobody's business. I have used his scripts on a million different projects, and they always satisfy, and they get the job done. You might want to check out some of those scripts. I'm pretty sure they're still on my site. If you go to tipsfromtheserverroom.com and click on the scripts at the top, I'm just going to see here as I'm talking. Let's see, tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Yeah, there is. There's still a link at the top that says scripts. You may want to pop over there, have a look at those. You can download those things, learn to write with them. Now, they are more advanced today. Those are basically VBS scripts or VB scripts. Today, I mean, we're using PowerShell, which is kind of on the same scenario. You're going to have to use some different syntax when you're writing your scripts. But those scripts, those VBE or VBS scripts, the Visual Basic scripts, still work. And they're free. They're up here. You can have them, download them. I got them for free. So I'm just kind of paying it forward and passing those along. So if you guys want to use those, they are amazing. I'll tell you about more of that in a minute. Let me just finish this up here, and then we'll talk about the scripts for a second. Now, are there any changes related to NTFS permissions? As we are working through the last set of steps, we have noticed a few new tabs in the new NTFS Advanced Security Settings dialogs. The tabs for the new and improved for the NTFS security dialog in Windows Server 2012 include Share, which integrates shared permissions into a separate tab on the NTFS security dialog, so that NTFS and shared permissions can be compared side by side. Effective Access, improved to provide an easier user interface to work with, evaluating and effective permissions for the user, group, device, or claim. Central Policy, this is used with the new Dynamic Access Control, or the DAC, feature of Windows Server 2012 to centralize folder permissions into security policies that can be dynamically applied to files and folders based on Active Directory claims. Dynamic Access Control, DAC, in particular, is a powerful feature in Windows Server 2012 to reduce the administrative load on managing standard permissions access lists across lots of file servers. So the Dynamic Access Control, the DAC feature in Windows Server 2012, it's there to, you know, really, really help you centralize. And as it says, it helps anything that helps to reduce the administrative load. Because, folks, I know I've got on the soapbox here a few weeks ago, and we discussed how so many people don't realize what we do in your server room. If you're one of those guys, such as I am, where, you know, part of my job is out, you know, working with staff, working with people, you know, working with students. I mean, I do that from time to time. And then if somebody don't see you for a day or two, and they see your car outside, but they don't see you, you must be watching Netflix movies, sleeping, taking a nap. I don't know, reading a book, maybe in a server room. They don't realize all the back end stuff that we have to deal with. You have to learn this new Windows Server 2012 stuff. You can do it without learning it, but you're going to be so much more effective if you do learn it. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, you could take all the classes you want. You can take all the courses. We can have our online class together, and we're not going to learn everything there is to know about Windows Server 2012. If I was going to sit here and I would tell you that I'm going to teach you everything there is to know about Windows Server 2012, I would be absolutely positively lying to you. I think you can go to a college course. I've sat through many college courses. I've sat through many certification courses, so many certification classes that they can't tell you everything. It just doesn't work that way. You know, my courses, the way I've been teaching it for years is I set up where I could teach you from install to administrating. At the end of my course, you will be able to install the server. You will be able to set IP addresses. You will be able to run DHCP DNS effectively. You'll be able to go through, you'll be able to set up users, and you'll be able to run that domain controller effectively. And as a bonus, we'll probably even set up a web server on it so you can host a web page if you think that's so important. So, yeah, I don't want to get on my soapbox there, but you got to have time to sit in your server room. You got to have time to look at your servers. You got to have time to understand this new stuff. It's just so critical to the way of life, to what we do. And, I wish, a long time ago I could have said, hey, I know Windows NT 3.5. That's all I ever need to know. But obviously that would have been wrong. That would have been a lie. Couldn't do that. Let me talk to you real fast here about those scripts. Those scripts are amazing. We use those on our file server. You'll find some scripts. You'll have to edit them. And you can see really clearly in there where to edit. And the only things you have to edit out is lines such as, like it'll be your server name or your domain name. You have to edit those or your share, where your shares are located. There's one in there that is amazing. What it does is we don't allow staff to download videos, movies, and obviously, people do that in education, but we want them to keep those on their local computer. We don't want them on the file server because the file server gets backed up at night with Barracuda, so it does an online backup. Well, I get charged by so many hundreds of gigabytes going out. Well, if they're loading that up with videos, that's lots of hundreds of gigabytes. It becomes, terabytes. And we don't want to do that, right? We don't want to add that much stuff going out every night. So what this script does is every night it runs as an automated task. It strips everything I don't want in their file folders out, puts them in a temporary folder, and writes me a log file. I have their files if they start screaming and say, oh my God, you deleted my MP3s. Well, yeah, I have them, and I will send them to you somehow, but they're not going to be on our file server. It's really cool. Check that script out. We have a few minutes here. We can go over this email real quick. I'm going to try to give you a simple scenario answer. This is an email from Lester. Lester, thank you so much for sending me the email. Hi, Jack. I just watched your video on DHCP. So you must have watched it on YouTube. I'm having problems on my network, and I work at a school. I don't have enough IPs. I have everything on one subnet or scope. How can I fix this? We are using Windows Server 2008 R2 and a couple of APs. There's two ways you can fix it. When I first took over the school that I'm in, I've been there for 11 years. I walked in and there's a Class A network set up. And I thought, wow, I can never manage a Class A network. Well, let me tell you, thank God there's a Class A network. And if you're in a bigger school district, you need a very large IP scheme. So you could change your IP scheme if it's only in DHCP anyway. Change it to even a Class B. Change it to either a Class A or a Class B network. If you're using a Class C, I'm sure you're running out of IPs. You can also try to add another scope on your DHCP server and add another subnet of IPs. Remember, folks, and hopefully if you watch my shows or listen to my broadcasts, that you don't ever use a bank of routable IPs. So many people do it. Like, I had 10 routable IPs, and I put them in my DHCP server. You don't need a routable IP. ever in your network. That's bad news, bad scenario. Don't do it. There's no reason for it. If you think there is, email me and we'll discuss it and try to figure that out. So anyway, try to do that. Hopefully that will clear you up. Because I know we ran out of IPs last year and I had to re-subnet. I have a Class A network, but I subnet down to Cs is what I do. I keep subnetting that back to Class C networks, and I use Class Cs throughout my whole network and tie it all together. It works really, really well for me. So hopefully, Lester, that helps you out a little bit and doesn't confuse you. If I was you, if it's a big enough school district, you know, put a Class A network in there. At the very least, just add a couple more scopes to your DHCP server. Folks, I want to thank you so much for joining me here. And again, I have to have a shout out there to the Mike Tech Show. I have to have a show, another shout out there to the Geeksters. Those shows have brought so many of you over to this show, and I appreciate everybody coming here. You know, we're getting that, we're hitting that 500 or 600 download mark weekly now, very consistent. And I appreciate everybody out there listening to me. But you know, if there's that many people listening, you have to have a question or two. Or a comment. Send your comments and say, Jack, what you talked about, you know, elaborate on it. Maybe we can bring some more to more people. That's the idea of these shows, is to bring more to more people. Folks, please remember to use my Amazon link if you buy anything from Amazon. It truly does help the show out, and it helps you to support us, and I do appreciate that. And I do ask with the other shows, I know that Mike has an Amazon link also, share the love. Use everybody's link, you know. If you buy something here, buy something there, use our links. To use the link, please visit tipsfromtheserveroom.com and make sure you deactivate your ad blocker. Tech guys, I know you have them out there. Deactivate those, and then you'll see my Amazon link. Folks, once again, if you want to learn more about Windows Server 2008 or 2, Windows Server 2012, or VMware ESXi 5.5 Server, from install to administration, please sign up for one of my online courses. Those can simply be found at tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Look for the online class link at the top of the page. Take the course. They're self-paced. You watch a video, you take a quiz. Once you complete the course, you will be mailed a certificate. Once again, you can sign for those at tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Folks, also remember to email me if you're interested in that live six-week course. I'm trying to build. I got to build some hype up around it to make sure we have enough people to go. We're looking for, you know, a maximum of 15 students. So the first 15 we get locked in will be the 15 that gets accepted. Once again, you can email me at jackstechcorner@gmail.com and let me know if you're interested. Folks, have a great work week. Once again, I'm very humbled. Thank you for listening to this show. I hope that I'm bringing you enough. And you can find tonight's link for all the information in tonight's show notes. You'll be looking at Tips from the Server Room, show number 58 at tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Folks, thanks, and I'll see you back here next Tuesday for another tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Take care, my friends, and I'll see you then. You just listened to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.